Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I especially speak to you men who are preparing for the office of the public ministry, but I speak to all. You men will be conduits of peace. It will be your job to convey peace, not by talking about the weather, not by trying to get men to be good fathers and women to be good mothers and children to be good children, as important as that may be. You will be conduits of peace because we have a Lord of peace. And as he stands here on that Easter evening, he shows why he is the Lord of peace. And he shows why he says, "Peace unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." He, of course, is himself peace. And as he stands there, the source of peace is simply that he is standing there. He was dead. He was crucified. All of his life's blood had been drained from his body. And now, he stands there alive. And that is the reason he can say, "Peace be to you." And that will be your message of peace as well. What shall you say to the young lady whose child has a liver transplant? And the child is doing well, and then suddenly at age 5 takes a turn for the worse and dies. You will not be able to explain to this young lady why her child, why her. But you, as a conduit of peace, will be able to say, "He lives." When you have a young lady in your congregation whose sister dies tragically at age 17 in an automobile accident, then within months her fiancé dies in an automobile accident. Then, a little bit later, you perform her marriage, and she and her husband have 2 wonderful children, and her husband drowns. You will not be able to explain to her why God chose her to be like a Job or a Naomi, but you, as the conduit of peace, will be able to say, "He lives." You will be able to point to Job, the sufferer, who in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of the grief of the loss of his loved ones, he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." This will be your message of peace. And as you face a family whose husband, whose father fell down the basement stairs and hit his head so hard, he is now no longer among the living, but his heart is still beating, and they decide to unplug the machine, what do you say to them? "He lives. You are the conduit of peace." But it is not only the fact that Christ is standing before them alive that is the message of peace. It is also something else. Several years ago, I read an article about slang words for God, and probably we would also say slang words for profanity. Among those words, there was "holy smoke," which was supposed to be slang for the Holy Ghost. "Blimey," which was supposed to be slang for "blind me." But the one that struck me was "gadzooks," which is supposed to be slang, and I have no idea from where it derives. It is supposed to be slang for God's wounds. God's wounds. That's the source of peace. And so before he says peace to them a second time, we read, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. God's wounds. Why do you think John says that the Lord Jesus breathed on them? Is it because he saw the chest of Jesus heave? Or is it because this word in our text for breathed, though only used here in the New Testament, is the same word used for God in Genesis 2 when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life? And is it no coincidence that throughout the scriptures, theologians realize that the Holy Spirit is the breath of God? This is God standing there who breathes out the Holy Spirit. And so we confess in the creed, the filioque, the Spirit proceeds from him as well as his Father. And these wounds in his hands, his side and his feet, and yes, all over his body, his brow, his back, these are God's wounds. And they proclaim to us his love. How unspeakable that love. Beyond knowledge. They proclaim to us that when you and I have wounds and pain, there is a certainty of a good future because we are in this Christ who rises from the dead. But primarily these wounds from which flowed and gushed blood are the wounds of forgiveness. So what shall you say to that young girl whose son died after the liver transplant, when she comes and says, but I had this child illegitimately? You say, God's wounds. You are forgiven. What do you say to the family whose husband, whose father fell down the stairs and it happened because he was stone drunk? Can he be in heaven, Pastor? You say, God's wounds. And for the young lady who wonders if God still loves her after the death of all of these beloved ones, you say, God's wounds. But how shall we touch these wounds? Thomas wanted so desperately to touch these sacred wounds. And when he finally did, he of course confessed, my Lord and my God. We shouldn't probably be too strict or too critical of Thomas because the church had not yet been completely assembled yet. Christ was still in the process of giving the pieces. He had given the piece of the Holy Supper of his body and blood. He had given a part of the piece of holy baptism as John the Baptist went around baptizing, but he was yet to tell them to go and make disciples baptizing. And he's in the process of establishing the piece of the puzzle called holy absolution. Thomas didn't have all the pieces. You and I do. And oh, how our Lord realizes that flesh and blood people like to hear and to see and to touch flesh and blood people. And so you will be the conduit of peace. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Or as Jesus would say to the 70 in Luke 10, he who hears you hears me. And so as you speak to the people the blessed gospel from the pulpit, as you absolve, as you are the celebrant for Holy Communion, and the people get to come to the body and blood of Christ and not only kiss it, but actually receive it and eat of it. Therein, the people will know peace. And as the people are reminded of their baptisms, that they have been buried and raised with this Christ, therein, they will find peace. You indeed are the conduit. You will be the conduit when you are ordained. Our catechism says, what do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, especially when they exclude manifest and impenitent sinners from the Christian congregation, and again when they absolve those who repent and are willing to amend, this is as valid and certain in heaven also as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. And so as the church through its ministers baptizes, administers the sacrament, preaches, teaches the word, absolves, and yes, as God's people read their Bibles, for these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And as the doctrine of Christ is proclaimed primarily that he is risen and that he was wounded for your sins that you might be forgiven, it is therein that God's people, like Thomas, will touch the Christ and know the peace that surpasses understanding. Amen.